Let's go to D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you on Infomaniacs.
Well, let's talk this morning. I guess first order of business is that you all need to get some sort of a stopgap funding bill put together. You've rolled something out on that. Can you tell us about it a little bit?
That's correct. I haven't had a chance to look at it. It got filed yesterday. What I've been told is that it is just like the last continuing resolution that funds the government at last year's levels, with a couple of exceptions. It includes another $8 billion for defense. It has extra funding for the global war on terror. And other than that, I don't know. I've got to take a look at it today and try to figure out what's going on. We'll vote on this tomorrow, and then that should be the last thing that happens in this Congress. And then we will we'll go out of session until the new Congress is sworn in on January the 3rd. But I do need to look at it and see what's in it. We've been told by our leadership that it should be acceptable to us, but I always like to trust but verify.
Now, there also seems to be some language in there that will make the path a little bit easier for James Mattis to be able to be named Secretary of Defense. Do we know much about that?
No, I don't. Again, there are some anomalies in here, or what we call anomalies in the D.C. budget talk that need to be looked at. If that provision's in there, I would certainly be supportive of that particular type of provision that allows James Mattis to become Secretary of Defense. I think he'd be a great SecDef. I think it'd be wonderful to have somebody who's actually been in uniform, served in the war, or led in the war on terror to be our SecDef. I think it was a great choice by Donald Trump.
I guess Defense Department was kind of at the top of the page yesterday. From time to time, the Pentagon obviously tries to find ways to be more efficient, and apparently a report from 2014, the Washington Post had reported that it came back and estimated $125 billion could be saved over 5 years, but the Pentagon buried the report. What's going on?
Well, the leadership of the Pentagon since Bob Gates has not been either transparent or effective. And they've been quite costly to the American people, not only in dollars, but in terms of mistakes they've made in fighting the global war on terror. I'm disappointed that they try to bury it. But the good news is that gives Congress a roadmap to help further clean up the Pentagon and use that money to improve readiness, to improve the acquisition of additional resources that we need, like planes and tanks and ships, to rebuild our military. So I think, even though it shows the problems of the Pentagon, it does give us some good things to work with in terms of using scarce taxpayer dollars in an effective way moving forward. This is typical of what's happened under Ash Carter and some of the other people. I could go on and on about how they spent more of their time on social reengineering than they have on trying to, fight and win wars. Fortunately, this gives us that roadmap to clean up this mess. And having Mattis in there as Secretary of Defense will be, to use words of President Trump, huge to improving the security of this country.
Well, he continued on his thank you tour, last night in North Carolina. Congressman Bill Flores joining us from D.C. There are some unusual people as far as names popping up for cabinet. One of the ones that came up earlier this week is Rex Tillerson, who is the former head of Exxon. Now, you were in the oil industry. Did you have any dealings with him, or can you give us any insight into this guy?
We did deal with Exxon in a couple of projects, and I do know Tillerson. Do I know him well? No, I don't know him well. Let me say this. I think there are probably some, and this is not a swipe against Tillerson, I think there are probably some better choices out there as Secretary of State. But, I've got an open mind on this. I'd be curious. I mean, we'll wait and see who Donald Trump announces. This is a key and critical cabinet appointment, and so I'm looking forward to see who he nominates. But I think I'd rather have somebody that actually had some foreign policy experience.
Sure. Well, it's a refreshing kind of a situation to see that there's so many names. I mean, there have been a lot of folks from across the spectrum, not only here, but in some other key choices. And it's a little refreshing to see. I want to give you an opportunity.
Some of them have been awesome. I mean, I've been like Tom Price for HHS was huge. Mike Pompeo for CIA director is huge. Mattis for SecDef is huge. I think overall his appointments are pretty good. Do I agree with every one of them? No, but I think most of them have been pretty good.
Hey, I'm not exactly sure how Ben Carson can relate to housing and urban development, but we'll, again, they get an opportunity. That's what we want to see here.
I'd give the guy a chance.
I want to give you a chance now to respond to a Breitbart article that came out, I think, yesterday, 2 days ago, having to do with really a discussion that you and I had last week, because you had kind of done a farewell speech at the American Enterprise Institute as the outgoing chairman of the Republican Study Committee. But they seem to think that you, in fact, were going to maybe give Trump some opportunity to get some things done, but at the same time, there were some things inside the Beltway that you really didn't want to see happen under a Trump administration. So I want to give you an opportunity to expand on that a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, I don't know what video the reporter was watching in terms of that event, the AEI event that Mark Walker, the incoming RNC chair, and I were at. But he certainly missed what we said. We talked about the alignment of several of Trump policies, along with where we are. And actually, I was at a speech with Mike Pence last night here in D.C. at the Trump International Hotel. And Pence went through a list of things that the administration was going to work on. And he said, we've got to make America secure. We've got to fix the VA. We've got to repeal Obamacare. We've got to replace Obamacare. We've got to reform Medicaid. We've got to reverse executive orders. We've got to roll back regs. We've got to have tax reform. We've got to have better trade deals. We've got to appoint great people to the Supreme Court. And we've got to end illegal immigration. I'm on board with those 100%. Most all of us in Congress are. But somehow this guy assumed that we were going to be against Trump. And one of the things he said that was really over the top is that I wanted to not roll back regulations. Well, that's 180 degrees from the truth, because we are focused on Trump, and I have for the last 6 years, and now we have an opportunity to do it looking forward, is to reverse all these bad regulations. So I don't know what he was listening to. The news source Breitbart is a click-based organization, so if they can write a juicy story, put a juicy headline at the top of it, then they'll get a lot of traction for that. And I guess that sometimes the truth gets modified in those situations. It's very unfortunate, because it's totally different than where we are. Now, we'll be quite frank, there are a couple of areas where conservatives in Congress differ from where President Trump is. He wants to have a big sort of stimulus-type infrastructure plan that costs trillions of dollars. We in Congress will probably have an issue with that. We saw the stimulus plan that President Obama tried, and it didn't work. Just remember the shovel-ready jobs comment.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us, like me, don't believe that the federal government needs to get involved in great big infrastructure projects across the country. We think that's best done state and local governments. That could have been one of the things. The other thing is the physical attributes. How do you actually build a wall between Texas and Mexico? And that's a little difficult, because we've got a river for our border.
Yeah.
And so those are things we need to think about.
Well, there are details that do have to be worked out, and Bob, I wanted to give you a chance to expand on that. Congressman Bill Forrest joins us.
That said, we're still for border security.
Sure.
Whatever it takes. I mean, there are lots of ways to have border security. In some places you have walls, and some places you have people with boots on the ground.
Well, and again, as the Texas legislature gets ready to go, and we spent $800 million on that last year, Texas has spent a lot on border security. They do need to know where the federal government's going to come down on it, certainly. But those things won't be answered for a while. We certainly know
well,
that.
Well, and I'm hopeful. And, I think we can get this done fairly soon. For instance, Michael McCaul's got a great bill that deals with border security. And it has the approach that is taking the input from our local law enforcement and our state law enforcement that are actually dealing with this on the front line, since the federal government is not doing its job. And if we could adopt a bill like that, then it gets President Trump and we and the American people all perfectly aligned to have border security. And that's where And I think that that allows the state of Texas to have $800 million it can free up to use for education or other important or infrastructure, other important things in Texas.
Yep, I think all Texans would be happy about that. Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. We thank you for the time this morning, Congressman.
Glad to be with you, and I'd ask everybody to remember the 75th anniversary of Pearl Harbor today and also to pray for our country during these difficult times.
Thank you, sir.